Hello and welcome to episode 35 of the Freo Big Footy Podcast. This week we'll be revisiting the game against the Tigers at the MCG, where Fremantle sort of in the end managed to get over the line quite comfortably, though they sort of really only played for a quarter and a bit. And a sterling performance by Ballantyne with six goals ended up being the difference between the two sides, and Freo walked away with the 4 points. And then we'll have a quick look at the Peel game from last week, and then also the upcoming clash against the Brisbane Lions, who are in a bit of pain at the moment with their injury list and inexperience with players leaving last year. Joining us again this week is our resident Victorian expert, Seppo. How are you, mate?
I am very good. Good to be back here in round 14.
Excellent. Obviously, you were at the game last week, Seppo, so you're probably better off giving us the first-hand account. And I understand there was quite a few Freo fans there last week as well.
Yeah, it was a quite disappointing overall crowd number. I think it was about 25,000. And for a Richmond game at the MCG, I thought it was a bit disappointing. But our fans certainly showed up in force, and it was a great little section behind our goals at our end. And we put on a good fighting performance, considering we had two key backmen out with Johnson and McFarlane. I thought the guys held up pretty strong, and Dawson did get beat around a bit by Riewoldt, but we really held on fast. And while Richmond pulled us, they that surge of goals we had just before half time and continued into the third was quite strong and really got us the win, because Richmond did challenge us a bit for there in the second. I did get nervous, but knowing you could see the way that the when Ballantyne's up and about, that pressure's there, that we'd motor on, and Richmond did look like a tired and defeated side right after half time. So I'm glad we really pushed forward. We could have even kicked a couple of more. We probably just took the foot off a bit and let them back into the game. I think they even kicked one right before the end. It sort of stopped a nice margin. But overall, a very good performance, and quite happy we got the job done and made the most of a game at the MCG, because, as I said last week, this is our last one before we'd say we get into finals. So great to see that we got the 4 points. It's one of those things that you probably won't look at again too much. Ballantyne did kick a nice six, and Fife and Sandilands done it right around the ground, but it was a simple bank the 4 points and move on.
Yeah, it was interesting to see the side. There was an interesting article with Ron Connolly today in the paper talking about, Fremantle sort of doing the old rope-a-dope strategy where they just absorb the pressure and then sort of counter-attack and be very efficient going forward. And I wonder if a few of the boys got around Ballantyne this week and started, giving him the Kevin Bartlett tag with 11 kicks and no handballs out there. So, getting the six goals was clearly good for him. And I think it's really important for Ballantyne as well, obviously after his performance in the grand final, and obviously that's been done to death, but just for good for him, the couple of games we've played at the G this year where he's sort of bounced back and probably had his best games for the season. So that was really pleasing. We're just obviously not getting our hands on the ball as much as particularly the opposition, where they're sort of getting a lot more of the ball. And, in most of the key statistical categories, we are getting beaten quite comfortably, except the one that matters, obviously, which is the scoreboard. But as you said, you're just sort of waiting for that Freo the side to click a little bit more. And you see it in glimpses of when we played the Geelong game and a couple of others. But it's sort of like, you keep thinking they're going to be building up to something a little bit more special. But
it's almost like we're holding back. You see it in glimpses, and it might be there, and they sort of play when it matters, like when we need to perform. And almost the last three results against the Bulldogs, Adelaide and Richmond are almost carbon copies, where the opposition's actually won a lot of the key stats. Like looking across the Richmond Freo little table here, there's only one sort of key stat we won, and that was a hit-out, so that really doesn't mean much. So it's the scoreboard that counts in the end, and it's been like that for the last 3 weeks. So hopefully this week again is one that we can actually, put in a good four-quarter performance, because don't really remember one other than Collingwood at the start of this year that we've really dominated a lot for, the full four quarters.
Yeah, absolutely. It was probably a little bit one of the few disappointing things out of the game was obviously the silly act by Dawson getting even though he got a reprimand, just adding those extra carryover points for no real reason was a bit disappointing. I'm sure Ross Lyon would be pretty filthy with him for doing it, because he's one of those key players we can't afford to lose, particularly with the injuries that we currently have to McFarlane and Johnson.
I suppose it's the big thing that it was only just a reprimand and he's free to play, but now he's taken that, so he's got some points over his head. So I wonder if it gets towards the later stage of the year and he might just knock someone out to, you know, miss a game and get another little carryover points and take it.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if, like, if, you know, teams start to do this. I mean, it sounds silly, but, I mean, you'd have to make it so it was just enough and low in impact, but it'd be interesting to see if teams, rather than just sort of, you know, particularly having a bit of a rest and that sort of stuff, and, you know, particularly with all those travel games and the AFL cracking down on those, but if you had six or seven players all get suspended for a week, it'd be interesting to see what take the AFL would have on it in that regard. So, but as you said, it was a pretty workmanlike performance, and obviously the side did just enough to get over the line, and hopefully we'll see if the team push up for a little bit this week. Obviously, go Seppo.
I was thinking it was a great move at the start. We've actually introduced Colin into the side through the sub and not made him play the full four quarters. I think it was a smart move, and I think a lot of people questioned why we put Sheridan on for the full game and had Sylvia as sub, but I think it was actually a great way to introduce him and make him hungry. And, you know, some people look at those four or five touches he had, but in terms of what he did with those, it was quite good, and the way he ran around, it looked like he's actually fitting into our side and did have a couple of link-up plays and got himself involved in that, which was really good to see. So I'm happy with that. I just hope he now backs that up with maybe a full game this week and does that for what he showed across full game.
Yeah, a couple of guys were probably, as you said, a little bit quieter than they expected last week. Obviously, Silvani came off with quite a heavy knock to the ribs, but pleasing to see that he's all good to go. But even guys like Zach Clark probably weren't up at the normal level he's been the previous few weeks. So a few of those guys will be trying to push to sort of keep their consistency a little bit more this week, you'd hope, than what they have done. And as you said, Sylvia will be given a chance to perform this week, and you would think he'd start from the beginning of the game. So hopefully he will get an opportunity to cement himself. And obviously for those guys like Sheridan, who sort of seems to dominate very well at waffle level, just hasn't been able to put those games together at the AFL level, which is a bit disappointing for him. But obviously I still think he's going to be a quality player for us in the long term. Obviously, Seppo, the other thing last week, was there any truth to the rumour that the security at the MCG came down and gave you a little visit?
Yeah, they did. That sign I had to follow the old Colin, the Oscoby. Someone must have complained amongst the Richmond fans there. They didn't like it, and lucky enough, I made it on paper so I could quickly tear it up. So security did come down, and the old PC police didn't like what they saw and had to pull that down, but it's you know, great suggestion that someone came up with, and a lot of people saw the humour in it, but I'm glad it was just that, just asked them to take it down and probably out of respect, but we'll move on.
Oh, hopefully it won't be the last one, but yeah, no, I thought it was very clever as well. All right, in the obviously in the waffle this week, or any other points for Seppo before we move on to the Peel game?
No, I think that's well covered from that. And it's really great to see, and I was touched on before, but Ballantyne kicking six. It's great to see he's brought his goal-kicking boots to an away game, because that's one thing that's been lacking from here. And he's certainly stepped up now. You know, the game against Bulldogs at Etihad and now this one at the G, he's booted six. And really, without him, if he had copped that suspension from the week before, we probably wouldn't have won the game.
Yeah, it's interesting in that regard. And obviously, you know, what could have been, and, you know, a couple of teams even like... Even with Buddy Franklin was the same, where if he was out, the Swans probably wouldn't have got over the line either. So it's interesting.
A sliding doors moment, but worked out well for us.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I think it was, overall, as you said, it was a good performance. We move on and let's see if we can continue our form this week. I think probably the best news out of most people, even though, we talked briefly about it last week, was with Pavlich and Fife on the Sunday footy show, and Fife obviously declaring his intentions for next year. And I know it's still always till the end, but you think it's going to be very unlikely that there's going to be any sort of changes from there. And hopefully we'll get it all sorted sooner rather than later, particularly with Fife and Mundy as well.
Yeah, certainly hope to see that. Might be towards the end of the year, but it's, I suppose a topic for later on in the year once it gets closer and people start to sweat a bit more. At the moment, we're running fine.
Yeah. Obviously, last week in the Peel game, Peel Thunder played against Swan Districts down at sort of Peel Stadium or Bendigo Bank Stadium. And once again, Peel were competitive for three quarters and then unfortunately in the last quarter fell away. And the sad reality is for Peel, with the current alignment, the way it is, Seppo, is that fact is that we're generally going in too tall and we just haven't got the midfield depth in there at the moment to stay, particularly even with those waffle sides. It probably didn't help that Swans kicked 9 points in the first quarter with no goals, so that certainly made it a little bit closer than it should have been. But the sad reality is you've got guys in there like Ballard and Brady Gray, who's been playing pretty well, Menegola and Brendan Jones. They're the main four midfielders, but after that it sort of runs a little bit flat, and they just need some extra reinforcement in the midfield to be competitive, because otherwise they just can't sort of string together those sort of games for that long. And it's although it's the alignment, you still would like those guys to have a few wins to get a bit of confidence up when they do come up to the next level.
Mm. I suppose it just shows how tall they've been playing when you've got guys like Aptness, Kepler, Tabner, Griffin, Vandeleur, and even Gumbleton now down there. It's having to push Moller into the resis to run around there, and I don't know if there's any more talls out there as well. They're probably injured. Alex Pearce is another one, but I think he missed out through injury. But it's it's just really hard for, I suppose, them to get a nice formatted team and some nice chemistry playing with each other each week and getting wins on the board, because it would be nice to keep them motivated with good performances down there. But I'm great to see that my buddy Brady Gray's put on some good solid performances when he's managed to play. So I almost prefer it rather than him, putting good performances in the waffle than, flying across with the team to Melbourne as an emergency and not playing. It's, I suppose, that stuck between a rock and a hard place. Do you, play there or get close to a call-up and come across as emergency? So it's great to see that when he has played waffle, he's pushing some good numbers every week and being rewarded with listed as emergency and getting closer to a call-up. Ross certainly has high praises every time he's talking about him.
It's interesting that most of the players this year who have been named as the emergency sort of go as an emergency, then the week after they come on the sub. Like even the last couple of weeks, Sylvia did it the week before, and then even the week before that, I can't even remember who it was now, but they seem to be sort of like being named in that emergency and then getting pushed up for a game. And hopefully, as you said, Gray will get an opportunity before now and the end of the year to go in there. But some of our younger draftees have actually been quite strong this year, particularly Gray, who seems to be coming along leaps and bounds and played a range of positions. And so they're trying him out. Ballard obviously is racking the ball up, but still needs to work on his disposal. And then obviously you've got other guys as well, like Aitmus, who's shown a bit, particularly with his marking and contested marking up forward, which is pleasing to see. So some of those new draft picks we've got, and even Alex Pearce has shown quite a bit in the games that he's played, although he's still a little way off AFL level, you can certainly see the signs there that he has got a fair bit of potential, which is pleasing. Mm. All right, this week, Seppo.
I suppose the only disappointing thing at the moment with, we've just lost McFarlane and Johnson for a bit. We're playing well with Dawson and Silvani, but it's a shame that players like Tanner Smith and Alex Pearce that were sort of almost key position backmen that might have got their chance against some of the sides are playing in the next few weeks. I think they're both injured at the moment or just coming off the injury list, so it's a bit tough for them because that would have been a perfect opportunity. And I know we threw Tanner Smith to the Wolves last year when we went across to Tassie and played. He had the poor hard job of playing on Hale, I think, and it would have been great for him to get another run because he certainly a good chance to play these backmen, because when you've got guys like Johnson and McFarlane and Dawson playing every week, it's good for them to get a bit of a taste of AFL. But at least, Silvani and Dawson can step up and do a role in between.
No, absolutely. And let's just hope that, as you said, those guys continue working there for the rest of the year, and we'll see if they hopefully do get a chance. Obviously, it'd be interesting to see if the I know Geelong have done it quite regularly over the years in terms of resting players, and there was talk this week about Pavlich or Sandilands getting a breather. So I'm hoping we'll probably see maybe in one of those games coming up that one of those guys will get a break. Maybe in the GWS game that they'll probably maybe look at giving one of those guys a break. I mean, Griffin's strung a number of games together in pretty reasonable form in the waffle, so you think he might be able to give Sandilands a a bit of a rest and maybe give Zach Clark that chance to play the number one ruck and sort of run a little bit harder. And then hopefully maybe Aitness or even Gumbleton, if you can string a few games together, will get an opportunity just to give Pavlich a week off. Mm. So obviously this week Fremantle going up against Brisbane. Brisbane have sort of been a bit up and down. They had a good win the week before against the Western Bulldogs, but then obviously struggled a little bit last week with the loss to GWS, who got their first win on the road. Fremantle really only making the one change this week, with Clancy Pearce being the inclusion after particularly a couple of good games, and obviously he had a cracking first quarter a few weeks ago where he had 18 possessions in the first quarter. And Tommy Sheridan has been omitted. And for the Brisbane Lions, Daniel Merritt, who's always a pretty solid player, Nick Robertson, the young boy from West Perth, and Tom Cutler come in, while James Aish, who's shown a bit this year, has been rested, along with Jonathan Brown, who had a pretty nasty concussion last week, and Mitch Golby, who's been omitted, and he's been pretty reasonable for them. So a bit of a surprise there, considering their form hasn't been that great. What do you think of the sides this week, Sebo?
Well, you could almost say that Clancy Pearce, like we mentioned before, with the emergency, was close to playing, and good to see that it's been rewarded, because he did have solid waffle form before that. So really happy with the team that's named. I'll probably be accountable, maybe for... Yeah, I was supporting my buddy Brady. Maybe he was a chance to play this week, and it would be interesting to see out of Tabner, Brady and Tommy, depending on when the waffle game is, when they actually hold the guys over, and if there will be a chance for a late change, whether they decide that they might give someone a rest or if anyone's sick. You know, last week they had Subin and I think Daniel Pearce. They say they were sick during the week, so it'll be interesting, you know, with this colder weather in Perth at the moment, if anyone's pulling up sore or short, that they give one of these other guys an opportunity to play. But overall, you'd say it's a pretty strong list and squad that's on paper, you know, minus the key injuries we've got to the senior blokes. But you know, it's interesting the way that now they've named Colin Sylvia on that bench, he'll enlist Clancy Pearce last in the interchange. And not to say it's always a rule, but usually the person named last on the interchange, you know, nine times out of ten is a sub. So you'd think that they'd probably give Clancy that role coming back, and hopefully we get to see Sylvia play a full game in front of a home crowd.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a, and there's obviously still a lot of, you know, probably supporters getting a little frustrated with obviously the Morabito talk, and like hoping he will get a game at some point. And, you know, hopefully he will be able to, you know, continue to string those games at Peel. And as Ross said, he's only played 10 games in 3 years. So, but you would like to see him get a game probably in the next two or maybe in that GWS game to come in and get an opportunity to see how he goes. And because, you know, probably as you said, the Brisbane and GWS games will probably be out of the probably the next three, and even the West Coast game, that's always going to be a bit tougher. There's always a bit more ferocity there. But the Brisbane and GWS games, you would think, would be more comfortable victories for Fremantle if they play anywhere near their potential. It was also interesting last week that obviously Ross was talking about a number of players with the flu, and obviously like guys like Daniel Pearce, who came out early, and probably even, although it wasn't listed, Mzungu was probably another one, because he certainly was probably nowhere near he's been early in the season. So I wonder if he also had a bit of the flu last week. But I think it'll be good to see how Sylvia goes in that environment and gets a first opportunity, and because I think most people would be quite pleased to see how he performs on the big stage and for us. And obviously, he's got probably another 2 or 3 weeks to make his case before Matt DeBoer's sort of ready to come back in on a, after his knee injury. And most people would think that those two would be fighting for that one spot. So he certainly needs to make every post a winner in the next 2 weeks, you'd have to think.
Well, exactly. I suppose all these players playing in the senior side, like Ross keeps on saying, no one's putting their hand up to say, you know, I want to let someone else in. So it's a great opportunity for him to push ahead. And just on Matt DeBoer, with his injury recovery, it was great to see that Walters is finally back out in the track now and even just kicking the footy around and out of his moon boots. So fast progress from him. It's just great to see that, you know, we've got a decent side that's capable of winning at the moment. It'd be great to have some additions of those guys. And, you know, in the next few weeks, if we can get through here, you'd think we'd account for the Brisbane Lions this week, but we've got a tougher ask the next week. It's just great that we can put on a good side and still have those guys like Sandlands, Pavlich and Pfeiffer Mundy out there. We've actually got a nice sort of solid run, and we can just gain momentum and let those guys come in and fight for spots.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously you'd have to think that Crowley would probably end up having to go with probably Rockcliffe to start with, and then obviously Jack Redden might be the other potential player that he will run with. So it'd be interesting to see which way Ross Lyon uses, or how he uses Crowley as well. Because, I mean, they do have a reasonable back line. I mean, Matt Maguire, Sam Mays. Sam Mays has shown a little bit. And then, obviously, Acock and Padfull are their sort of more experienced players. But they certainly lack a little bit up forward. And it'll be interesting to see if... because if Pavlich in particular gets off the chain a bit early, they may have to move Merritt back. So it'll be interesting to see if how they work it. And then obviously there's been a little bit of talk about Brisbane's pace across the ground, and obviously the wide spanses of Subiaco will certainly probably suit those guys like Lewis Taylor. So, and I think that's going to, you know, probably be their best chance of causing an upset if they do so, with those sort of smaller, quicker guys running around.
When I look at their list and look at players that might be able to damage us, it's guys like Lewis Taylor and Josh Green, and even guys like Clay Beams and Pierce Hanley as well. He's a very good quick mover and good kick. So they're the type of players that we've got to make sure they're accountable and put a lot of pressure, because, like you said, they're missing Jonathan Brown and a lot of other players that could really cause us damage. And I suppose it's a great time to have, you know, Dawson and Silvani there as key posts to take care of their key forwards that, you know, really, well, not really struggling at the moment, but it sort of plays well into our hand. And we just hope the guys like Spur and Duffield and whoever other smalls are playing down there do the good job, because that's the only way that Brisbane are going to hurt us.
Yeah, I mean, when you consider, like, that generally McFarlane would take someone like a Jonathan Brown, and he has in the last few games anyway, I mean, the fact they're both out probably negates the loss of McFarlane as well. Mm. And obviously then they, when you consider that they've also lost probably their two best ruckmen in Leuenberger and Trent West for the season, you know, they've got Stephen Martin there, who's battled pretty well in the condition, you know, under the circumstances. But, you know, going up against someone like Sandlin and Clark will certainly be a tough gig for him to run four quarters, or even, you know, even three and a half quarters there, with particularly if with Sandlin sort of belting into him and then having Clark jumping over the top. So it's going to be a very tough tough night for the Lions. The fact that it may be a predicted rain may help them a little bit, because they're probably used to the wet and dewier conditions and Fremantle. But Fremantle, obviously, their bigger bodies will certainly make it tougher for the Lions as well. Like, they don't, apart with the exception of probably Rockcliffe, who's a pretty solid player in terms of height and size, they don't have a lot of big height in that midfield. Like, Nick Robinson is a reasonable sort of height, but he hasn't probably got the stamina yet to run through there, more of a forward. And guys like Zorko and that can pinch hit in there, but with, you know, Rockcliffe, Redden and Beams, and after that you sort of like get guys running through a little bit, Seppo, but it's going to be a bit tough for them, I think, to I think our rotation bats a lot deeper, and even if they can hold the sort of damn wall initially, I think they're going to struggle when they go to that second rotation through the middle.
I suppose when you look at that, the dominance that we'll get out of Sandlands and Clark versus Martin, it'll be quite interesting to see if we can actually capitalise. And the way that we've seen this year, when we get Sandlands in form, feeding it down hill and Fife's throat, we certainly look damaging. So let's hope that, you know, we can use that again, and it's not too late. The forecast was saying earlier is, you know, 20 degrees and shower increasing. Hopefully it's cleared up by the end of the day, but hopefully on the expanses of Subi and the way that we can hopefully run out this side, it will be almost, you know, carbon copy of the last few weeks where we've battled hard, weathered the storm of whatever they throw at us, and go hard and run out this game. So hopefully we're picking a really fit side and everyone's up and about, and we can just run over the top of them for a full four quarters. So it'll be really interesting to see how well this midfield battle goes and how much we can actually dominate, because it would be a real shame to see such a, you know, dominant game in the midfield and not capitalise and miss a lot of shots, because that's the only thing at the moment I think we've really got to work on as a team, to really sort of pushing and make the, you know, that penny drop and get to that fine form we had end of last year.
Yeah, and, you know, even though they say, I mean, Ross Lyon's saying that no one's really knocking the door down at Peel this week, I mean, the fact of the matter is that you do have some quality players down there, and, you know, obviously they'll be sort of trying their best to push for a spot. And, you know, it's probably more incumbent on the guys who are in that 22 to make sure that they do keep it. You know, as you said, you've got Michael Johnson and De Boer, and then obviously McFarlane, there's three, and then even if you include Walters, there's four, sort of at least three of them would definitely be walk-in starts in that 22. So three blokes there are pushing really to hold their spot between now and the end of the year. So, yeah, I mean, they can't really afford to take their foot off the pedal at all. It's good to see a couple of young WA boys come back who've been drafted by Brisbane in Paparone, and obviously Nick Robertson come back as well, and they've shown a little bit in the couple of years they've been drafted up there. So I know Paparone was a pretty reasonable forward as a Colt for East Fremantle, and showed a little bit, especially as a lead-up forward. And, yeah, I think he'll continue to improve at Brisbane, and I think he'll be a pretty handy player for them down the track. And obviously Nick Robinson was a West Perth Colt boy, and Unfortunately, he didn't get a lot of time at West Perth due to injuries, but he's certainly hard at the ball, and I think he certainly doesn't shirk a contest. So I think they'll certainly hold themselves to account pretty well. But, yeah, I just can't see them having enough depth to push Fremantle in this game. And really, Fremantle, if they on their A game, should really blow the game over by half time if they play the script and the weather's not too wet.
Mm. Any others? Looking through their list is a lot of names I haven't really watched a lot of games of, but there's one guy I have watched, and Lewis Taylor's a nice sippy type, and he plays with a lot of energy. It reminds me a bit of Ballantyne, the way he's very short, has a lot of energy, can do those amazing things around goals, got a great goal sense, and quite a damaging player. So the combination of him and Green's quite quick and zippy as well, that will be a nice test for Spurrier and Duffield and all the guys have been playing down back. It will be a nice matchup just to see how we go, and it's the only way that I can see Brisbane really getting scores by having a small zip around us. And a couple of the guys did it last week, I think, in Richmond, the way they sort of pushed the ball forward and got close and got out the back and had those shots, even though we were trying to hold defence, they seemed to find a way through. So it'll be a quite interesting matchup with guys like Taylor and Green.
Yeah, and I mean, it'd be interesting, obviously they're trying to push some of these new guys in, Michael Close is actually quite a tall player. I think he's 196, so he's probably that 6'4 size, which is a pretty reasonable size. So hopefully, they're the sort of kids they've got to come, push in and hopefully develop, and hopefully, and obviously Lepich seems to be doing a reasonable job and has a lot of the players on side up there. So hopefully they can sort of come up from that bit of a debacle last year where they lost guys like Yeo and Polek and those sort of players. But I think it'll be, those sort of boys will certainly give a good account of themselves, for at least in patches of the game. I just don't, as you said, I don't think they can keep it going for the whole time they're out there. So what do you think the margin will be this week, Seppo?
Well, it all depends if it's raining. If there's a lot of rain during the game, I'd almost put it down for another 30 to 40 point win. But if it does stay dry and Brisbane almost give up the ghost at half time, and if we've put on a lot of scoreboard pressure and we haven't actually missed any, I would say we're probably looking at about a 60 point win. So it'd be nice to get a nice 10 goal win because it's been a while since we've really put a side away. And you'd expect Brisbane, I think we've lost the last five games against them. We've beaten them. Some of them have pretty been dour and low scoring, like that one a couple of years ago. But I just hope that we can continue and put away a side to great effect and get the confidence guys up and actually become more of an attacking side and keep the percentage going, because you never know how important this percentage could be at the end of the season. And, we've got a run of, let's say, some tough games, but, with Eagles, the Derby next week, and then flying up to Darwin for the Melbourne game, before we have another easier game after that. It's one that we've really got to get a good result here and, play through the next one and wait for that another, not bye, but split round further on. I think it's round 18, roughly, when we get an opportunity to regroup again.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you said, that percentage could become a key factor, particularly in the as we move towards the end of the season with those top four sides. I mean, it really is probably down now to, I would arguably say, five or six teams for that top four position, and obviously I think we'll be one of them, but we just can't afford to A, drop any games, and B, sort of try and keep that percentage as high as we can. And obviously Brisbane will, even though their injury list is not huge, they're probably their, arguably you'd probably say that Brown, Leuenberger and Rich are probably three of their best players, So that certainly, and without their depth there, that's certainly going to make it tough for them. But I think Fremantle, if it's a pretty reasonable, weather-wise, and Brisbane come out, hopefully Brisbane don't just sort of park the bus like they did, I think, a couple of years ago where they just played ultra-defensive. But I think if they do come out and sort of have a bit of a go, I think it could be a comfortable 10-goal victory. And I think it probably, even though I know Ross Lyon doesn't talk about, the margin isn't sort of critical, I think if we're sort of going to make any sort of indentation, I think that's the sort of score that we need to get, that sort of margin if we want to start pushing up the ladder and consolidating. Because obviously this week Collingwood play Hawthorn as well, which is going to make it a little bit tougher for one of those sides. And you'd have to think that Hawthorn would be the reasonable, would be reasonably strong favourites there. And obviously Geelong have got a couple of tougher games coming up down the track as well. So Port Adelaide, Hawthorn, Sydney, Geelong, Fremantle and Collingwood would be those teams aiming, you'd think, for those top four spots. And Collingwood's got a reasonably tough draw. Hawthorn have got a reasonably tough draw coming home as well. So we've just got to try and get the best we can between now and the end of the season.
It's very interesting just looking at the AFL ladder predictor. If you have a play around with that and give us a win for the next few weeks and try and fill in the other results, you know, we could still be winning for the next few weeks and not climb any higher than fifth the way that the results. It might tighten up a bit in the top four sides, but, you know, we still, you know, dropped a couple of games and we've got to make them back. So a couple of sides did the favour, you know, obviously with Sydney beating Port, bringing them bound down to the pack a bit, and the Bulldogs getting over Collingwood. So we need a couple more of those results go to our way to actually climb up the ladder, because at the moment we're going to need a bit more in our favour rather than just get wins on the board.
Yeah, it was interesting to see that, in saying that, you know, when you're looking at those results, that there was an article, I think, on the Raw this week that they were talking about that Fremantle actually had the hardest draw for the first half of the season by quite a significant, and they were sort of saying that Port Adelaide had a significantly easier draw with, I think, their average, the teams they played averaged two wins less than what Fremantle did. So they'll probably have a little bit tougher, and it'll be interesting to see if they can maintain that intensity. I mean, they've obviously been very, very good for the first 12 weeks of the season. But I know ourselves, Seppo, watching Fremantle the first year they did it, they sort of came out with that manic intensity, and it's pretty hard to keep it going for 25, 26 weeks of the season. I think this year you're sort of seeing Fremantle probably tempering it a little bit more and sort of saving their energy. Well, that's what we're hoping for anyway, but it seems that that's what they're doing, is they're sort of picking their spots a little bit more, and it's just always a dangerous thing to be able to turn it on and off like that, but they certainly look like they're doing that this year and sort of maintaining probably a little bit more energy towards the end of the season.
It's almost like a game of cards and we're not showing our hand yet, because everyone sort of knows we're not playing at our best, and it almost feels like they're teasing us and doing it on purpose and they're waiting for the right time to pounce. So hopefully when it comes to the serious end of the year, you know, when we're playing Hawthorn, Geelong and Port again, that we perform then and put them away, because they'll be crucial 8-point games. But it'll be just great to get through the next few weeks with no further injuries and just keep on banking those 4 points.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's hope we continue to do that. And it's probably a bit disappointing for the Freo fans who will be there on Saturday night, because I think it'll be the last time Jonathan Brown certainly would have played at Subiaco. And I think it's probably remiss of us not to touch on his career, because he's been an outstanding player. And I mean, if there's sort of one bloke that you think sort of is a standout sort of AFL prototype player, he would be certainly the one. And certainly early on in his career, he was just an absolute beast. And you'd have to think any sort of football player would walk taller with him out there across centre half forward. And he's been an absolute gem for them.
Oh, certainly, yeah, something to the side when you see Brisbane play and you hear about all the players talk about what a sort of a inspirational and courageous man he is. So it's a shame he's not out there, but you think, you don't know if he's going to see out the whole year or if pick and choose when he plays for these last few games, because it's certainly taking a toll on him. And that knock was pretty horrific. You've seen that a couple of times now where he's just sort of gone with the flight of the ball and grazed across someone. It happened in a Freo Brisbane game, I think, early at the start of 2011, I believe. I remember he clashed heads with, I think, Grover or one of the other blokes that knocked him out a bit. So he's copped his fair whack of concussion. So it's just hopefully that he gets a good send-off, and you'd think he'd be calling it quits before the end of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll, and obviously hopefully he will get that chance to go out one more time, and or whether he does like Glass did last week and just do a lap of honour, because I think he's, as I think Lepich said in the news today, he certainly doesn't owe the Brisbane Lions anything, and he's certainly been one of the top probably players in the last decade in the AFL, so hopefully he doesn't have any issues with his concussion and is able to go on and do, live a normal and happy life when he retires, because I think he's been a treat to watch, particularly I think that 2002 side that was probably one of the best premiership sides I've ever seen, and across all 18 blokes, they were just an unbelievable football side, really. Mm. All right, Seppo, anything else you want to add, mate, before we finish up this week?
No, that's it. For all the guys in Melbourne, look out for next week. We've got our last week of training this week. We're going to be having our grudge match The East Coast Eagles versus the Fitzroy Dockers right before the Derby next Saturday. Not this weekend, but the next one, it's a Derby, so it's coming around quite quick early on in the season, the second Derby, and I'm looking forward to it and do a bit of running myself to get my fitness up there. So if you're in Melbourne and you've got time free before the Derby, get down. There's details on the board. There's a moderator announcement for that little grudge match, and yeah, let us know and get down there and introduce yourselves. And for all the other guys, for the couple of home games in a row, get down to the Great Northern Hotel for watching the game there amongst a lot of other Freo supporters and great beer and food.
Yeah, absolutely. And hopefully you're still getting a pretty reasonable crowd down there, Seppo, and all the best in that sort of grudge match. And let's hope that you can get away with the chocolates this year after last year. So even though it was close, still always disappointing to lose those ones.
That's it.
All right, that's it for now. Thanks again for joining us this week, Seppo.
No worries, and I'll see you all again here next week.
And just a reminder for anyone who's listening, guys, as well, A, thanks for listening, and B, don't be afraid to put your name down and come on board. You just need a Skype account, and we're more than happy to have anyone join us on the pod, and it would be great to get some new faces on or new voices on here for sure as well. So hopefully, Seppo will probably put out the call this week, so please just give him a DM or whatever and come and join us on board every Thursday night. All right, thanks again for joining us, Seppo, and we'll see you again next week. Bye for now.